It's a rite of passage for women that usually occurs when we're in our 40s or 50s. It's a normal, natural biological process, menopause. You can empower yourself for this lifestyle change when you know the right answers to ask your doctor. We'll get some answers this episode from obstetrician and gynecologist, Dr. Michelle Stoltzman. This is Living Well with Eisenhower Health. Healthcare, as it should be. I'm Cheryl Martin. Dr. Stoltzman, delighted to have you on to discuss this transition for women.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
So first, how do you define menopause and how is it different from perimenopause?
Okay, so menopause, the definition is really 12 months of no menstrual period. That is, if you're not on medication that could interfere with that, or if you have some other medical disease that is causing you not to have periods. But if you have not had a period for 12 months in a row, then you are technically menopausal. Perimenopause is the transition of changes that really affect the quality of life marked by hormonal fluctuations. These can include irregular menses, hot flashes, sleep disturbances, and these can all lead up to menopause, which you can have also similar symptoms. But perimenopause, you're still normally having some sort of menstrual cycle and it's likely irregular. And normally the symptoms that people experience are normally about starting 4 years or so from that final last menstrual period.
Any other symptoms that mark the difference or define perimenopause and menopause that women need to be aware of?
Yes, most commonly the main difference is the menstrual cycle, and some people may experience more fluctuation in symptoms during perimenopause as their ovaries are still producing more estrogen and trying to ovulate. Some of the other symptoms that people can experience during this time are joint pain, brain fog, memory loss, where they feel brain fog is a symptom that people will describe as a loss of words, or they just feel like they can't remember something that they normally would be able to remember. And so those symptoms can be felt or noticed during perimenopause and through especially the early menopause.
So when your patients come to you with these symptoms and they're seeking relief, what do you say?
So I normally try to discuss which symptoms especially that they are feeling, because everyone is different. Some people actually experience headaches or anxiety as well. Depression can be common in perimenopause. So I sort of target which symptoms people are experiencing. And hormone replacement is normally very effective because you are replacing what is missing during this time. However, there are some patients who do not want to do hormone therapy, or most of their symptoms are anxiety and depression, and you can use alternative medications like antidepressants and then some other medications, for example, like gabapentin. There are options that are non-hormonal that some people would prefer to start with. However, because hormone replacement is so effective, many people would prefer to start with that.
So talk in more detail about what hormone replacement therapy is.
Okay, so your ovaries produce different types of hormones, especially we normally focus on estrogen and progesterone. And as your ovaries stop ovulating and you stop getting regular periods, then these hormone levels can fluctuate a lot. And so people feel differently during these fluctuations, and they can feel like they're not themselves and experiencing these symptoms. So one of the things that we normally start with is something called estradiol, and we try to use something that is bioidentical, which bioidentical means that it is the type of hormone that your ovary normally produces. So commonly it's known as estradiol or estrace. And there are different forms that you can use. For example, there is a patch, there's gel, there's a pill. And these are different ways you can take estrogen and try to relieve the symptoms as your body produces less estrogen on its own. Now, another hormone that is produced by the ovary is called progesterone. And again, we try to use a bioidentical progesterone, which is similar to what is being produced in the ovary. And typically that does come in a pill form. And if you have a uterus, it is very important to remember that you need to take progesterone along with estrogen, because if you do not take progesterone with estrogen and you have a uterus, you could be at risk for hyperplasia or precancer of the uterus or eventually uterine cancer. So I really emphasize that to patients, that even though a lot of your symptoms are going to be relieved by the estrogen that we're giving, you really need to be aware of needing progesterone, especially if you have a uterus. If you've had a hysterectomy, then you can talk to your doctor and progesterone may be optional and you don't necessarily need to take it.
So you've talked about the benefits of hormone replacement therapy, risks, and you just mentioned one, that if you don't take both, then you have a uterus. But any other risks?
So some people, if you do have a history of breast cancer, or if you have a lesion suspicious for breast cancer, often is hormone receptor positive. And so that is a risk and often contraindicated if you have breast cancer. So that would need to be discussed. Now, as far as it causing breast cancer, that is a little more controversial depending on what people read. But we do know that normally for an average risk patient for breast cancer, that being on bioidentical hormone replacement for at least the first 5 years does not typically increase someone's lifetime risk of breast cancer. Another thing that some people commonly ask is the difference between synthetic hormone and bioidentical hormone. And many people have heard of Premarin, which is a synthetic type of estrogen, meaning not identical to the estrogen that you naturally make as a human. And then Provera, which is a synthetic type of progestin. And so those have different risks. We try to steer away from prescribing those in the beginning. It's not as common that you'll see doctors prescribe those anymore. Those do have a little bit higher risk of other things. For example, those are often in pill form and they can increase your risk of blood clot, stroke, or some cardiovascular events for some people if taken together. And also oral estradiol and Provera sometimes can be a little bit more risky for blood clot and stroke because they go through the liver when you take something orally. So typically it is much safer and recommended to at least start with transdermal hormone replacement for estradiol, which is through a patch, which is very commonly used, or a gel, which is also used for patients who don't want to do the patch. And only typically if those do not work, or patients have a reaction on the skin or some other reason, that we would switch them to like an oral pill of estradiol. Progesterone, however, is not very well absorbed through the skin, the bioidentical progesterone. So typically that is given in a pill form and taken in the evening or at bedtime because it can often make people tired. And some patients like that because they feel like it helps them sleep if they're having difficulty sleeping due to perimenopause or menopause.
So are you finding, and do statistics show, that the majority of the women are taking hormone replacement therapy in some form during menopause? That's the number one option they are selecting?
Yes, I do find that. I think that it depends on the patient. I think that there was a lot of scare from this study, which we don't really have time to get into, called the Women's Health Initiative, that really did scare women from hormones. But I think the new generation coming into perimenopause and menopause is a lot more receptive and educating themselves on the safety of bioidentical hormones. And so it is very common that women come asking for hormone replacement and have very little interest in the other options.
Well, let's talk about some of those other options. Any non-hormonal medications which may help a woman's symptoms?
Yes. So a couple of the more common ones are things like antidepressants, for example, the SSRI category. People have heard of probably Prozac and Zoloft and things like that, Paxil, those can be used as a low dose. So I find that, and also Effexor, which is a different type of antidepressant, I find that those medications really do help women with mood fluctuations, anxiety. They help people a lot of times, just if they're suffering just from a depression that they don't really know that's new for them. But what I don't find them very helpful for are the things that estrogen is more specific. For example, vaginal dryness, painful intercourse, hot flashes, those medications can help to some degree, but I do feel like hormone replacement does seem to help them more. But there is also a medication called Veozah, which is now FDA approved, and that is a different class of medication that can work specifically for hot flashes. So if women come in and they don't want hormones, and their symptoms are really more hot flashes or mood related, then it's a little bit easier to give them those options with a better rate of success than some of the other symptoms like brain fog, joint pain. These things are a little bit harder with those kind of medications. So it really depends on your symptoms, which can range very wildly for women. I have some women who come in with very few menopausal symptoms and tell me, I really just stopped my period, but I feel okay. That is not that common, but I do have patients like that.
Now, any specific lifestyle changes that can help manage menopause symptoms?
Nothing that is dramatic, but I do feel like having a normal weight does help. Some of this appears often to be somewhat genetic. Some women, if you eat a certain diet, like a lot of the Asian cultures will eat a lot of soy products. Soy products can benefit in some ways the symptoms. And so some women that do eat more of those products have less symptoms because of that. So that's one way diet. But most of the time, those things are not all that effective.
Now, tell us, what is genitourinary syndrome of menopause and how is it treated?
So genitourinary syndrome of menopause is a very specific discomfort, I would like to describe it as, that you can feel in the vagina and on the where the urethra is, which is where the urine comes out, because there are estrogen receptors in this area. And so a lot of women after menopause, or even after they've transitioned from perimenopause to menopause, do start feeling very dry, and they can have painful intercourse. They can feel like they have a lot of discomfort or burning on the vulva or the urethra when they urinate, and yet they go to the doctor's office and they find out they don't have a UTI, which is a urinary tract infection. So they become confused. Why am I feeling like this? Why does intercourse hurt? And it is due to a lack of estrogen, but specifically in that area. A lot of people don't realize that those symptoms can occur and why they're occurring.
And how is it treated?
So the way that it's best treated is actually by using a vaginal estradiol treatment of some sort. It comes in a cream called Estrace Cream. It also, you can get tablets, which is our estradiol tablets, which you insert. Or it comes in something called an E-string, which is a ring that you can insert into the vagina as well. And what it does is all those products are considered low-dose estradiol treatment and non-systemic, meaning the estrogen is localized to that area. So it's very safe. It doesn't have a lot of risks that systemic hormones do if used correctly. So you can pretty much start that at any age. Even in patients with breast cancer, a lot of the oncologists will be okay with vaginal estrogen products for patients who are suffering from these symptoms because it is so effective and it is not considered a systemic treatment.
Everything you've shared has been extremely helpful. Thank you, Dr. Michelle Stoltzman, for sharing your expertise on menopause with us.
You're welcome.
For more information, visit eisenhowerhealth.org/womans-health. If you found this podcast helpful, please share it with others on your social media and explore our entire podcast library for more topics of interest to you. Thanks for listening to Living Well with Eisenhower Health. Healthcare as it should be.